Yes, good morning to you all. This is Daniel King with the Daily Inspiration. Just like to speak some this morning on something that was on my heart here, looking at Matthew 23, verse 25. As I was reading this morning, it just really jumped out at me. Matthew 23 is full of a strong exhortation against the Pharisees, and I do believe that Jesus was speaking to a specific group back in that day, but I do believe that the same groups of people that Jesus was speaking to made up society back then. And in the same way, I do feel these same types of groups are in our society today. You know, you had the Pharisees, and they were very religious, but they were mostly religious outwardly, as you can see here. The Sadducees were more your religious by in theory. You could say that they really didn't believe in a resurrection, meaning they didn't really believe in an afterlife. So most of their philosophy or thinking was just in theory, which we can see many of those people today. And then, of course, you have the heathens, and so it's interesting that they had specific names for the people groups then, but and you know you can very readily see that those same people types are around in every society, in every neighborhood, all the way across the world. So in verse 25 here it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." And that is just one verse of the many here, but it stood out to me that it doesn't necessarily say making clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of immorality and wickedness. It doesn't really say that. It says extortion and excess. And it's been here in recent years that this has become so obvious and evident to me that the Bible does talk a lot about extortion. And extortion is basically taking advantage over someone else financially, especially in the financial area. But I think the Bible has a lot to say about oppressing, especially the Old Testament. I've noticed where it has a lot to say about oppressing. And it's usually the rich that have the advantage. And so it's usually the rich that oppress and extort. It's usually not the poor as much, because they don't have the upper hand in business dealings or in life in general, especially in the business world. And then the other word is excess there, and excess would be more than needed. And so I was just thinking about this and was thinking about all the other places in the Bible where Jesus is talking about. One place it says that he who has been given much, much is required. And it's saying that for those who have a lot, there's more required from them by God. And so there was this statistics given in a message I heard lately, talked about how that America has only 5% of the world's population, And yet America has one half of the world's luxuries, or one half of the world's wealth. One half of the world's wealth belong to 5% of the world's people. And I have really wondered if that's actually true. It seemed unbelievable that that would be true, but at the same time, I think it's a bit hard for us who have never been to, you know, traveled much. We have only, for those of us who have only seen America, we tend to view the rest of the world in light of that. And then we have these stories about the poor countries, but, you know, we don't really, it doesn't really dawn on us, or it doesn't really hit us as much as when we travel. Now, I have never traveled outside of America, but it is a testimony of those who have. It's just one of the first things they observe is that, you know, Americans really have a lot of wealth. And so in light of that scripture there where those who have been given much, much is required, I often have to wonder, how does this look to God, who is not a respecter of persons, and he sees each person as equal, and he looks down from heaven, and he sees, you know, the whole world as an equal unit, and he sees this one country with half of the world's goods, and yet they're only 5% of the population. And then he also sees, you know, he sees post offices, he sees airports, he sees train stations, and he sees cell phones and computers, and he sees that these things can be used to, you know, to spread out or equalize this wealth. It could be used to equalize this wealth. He sees people like Christian Aid Ministries and all types of ministries who have opened doors into all these other countries. And he sees this, and he knows that it's easy for the Americans to share their wealth with the rest of the world. It's not like you have to physically, you know, take a $10,000 check or a truckload of corn or wheat and load it onto a ship and take it over there and find another truck in Africa and take it in there to the mainland and start giving it to people. He sees that, you know, we can't use that excuse to not do it. You know, all we have to do is you know, probably with a phone call and very little effort, we can do something about this situation through already established organizations. And so it's just really been a burden of mine, and, you know, I put myself in that category too, because God has blessed us here. And I'm not sharing this because I'm preaching to others, but I'm preaching to us. And and then the other thing that someone has shared in a magazine here lately that has been a challenge to me, and that is, there was this picture of this big home. It looked like the typical American house that you might see in the suburbs or in a development. This big house with wings out the side, you know, for a three-car garage perhaps, and false dormers across the front, and a big lawn. Just looked like, you know, a beautiful house. And then in front of it stood a mother and a father and a son and a daughter. making up the family that in this house. And then it had a little writing there in front of a little caption in front of the picture. And the Bible says that children are a blessing, a heritage of the Lord. And it also says that to be in debt is a curse. Okay? So it really sums things up in that picture. I never really thought about it that way, but it really sums things up by saying that Americans, it was saying that Americans are choosing their family size, meaning, you know, through Planned Parenthood and through all kinds of birth control, Americans are reducing the size of their families down to, I think the average American household is 1.8 children. So, you know, that is very typical. An American family is 2 children. Actually, it would be more than average. But, and then it said that obviously this house that you saw in the background was achieved by borrowing money. And so then the little saying said that here in America, we reject the blessing and apply for the curse. Meaning we reject the blessing, which is children, and apply for a loan, which is a curse. And I often had to wonder here, you know, how does this all look to God in heaven if he looks down and knowing that Sodom and Gomorrah, their original sin was not necessarily their sexual abnormality, but rather it was that there was a, you know, that they lived in extravagance and fullness of bread, which sounds like just extortion and excess. And that then led to their sexual inconsistencies there that they had. And I had to think that people who work with sexual problems most times say that the problem, the beginning or the root of the problem, is selfishness and self-indulgence. And knowing that the flesh wants that, it just became clear to me that it's no wonder that if Sodom and Gomorrah had excess and fullness of bread, that it eventually led to, in other words, if they're indulging on self, it'll eventually lead to a full-blown version of indulging on self, which leads to all kinds of self-centered pursuits. And so, I do not believe that it's necessarily evil to have been born in America, or necessarily a curse in that sense. But I do believe that it's a simple solution. In other words, he who has been given much, much is required. I think the solution is simple. I do not believe it's as simple as voluntary poverty, although I do believe it's as simple as voluntary poverty. And what I mean by that, I don't think it's as simple as just stop working or stop making money so that we're not rich, so that we, you know, don't fall in that category. But rather, I believe that we should choose voluntary poverty by giving, and thus equalizing. I do believe that it's God's heart, as he looks down from heaven, that he sees those that are strong help those that are weak. I don't necessarily think that it's God's desire to change and take away the weak and to weaken the strong and to strengthen the weak, as much as I think it's his heart that the weak and the strong live amongst each other and that the strong help the weak. I do believe that's the picture of the heart of our Father, is that we are continually reaching out to each other, and those that have strength in one area can be reaching out to those that have a weakness in that area, and vice versa. And the picture, therefore, is a picture of beauty. It's not a picture of independence, but it's a picture of dependence on one another. And I do believe that that picture is what brings God glory and is what brings much rejoicing in heaven. So I, along with the rest of my fellow citizens here in America, do continually, in a sense, struggle with this picture of these statistics that I keep hearing time and time again. So may the Lord help us. May the Lord guide us. We have not chosen where to be born, but we do have a will, and we have this choice before us to do with our lives what we choose to do. So may we be faithful. God bless you.